word this evening to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We now get a little clue from Paul, from the Holy Spirit, as to why it is necessary for there to be soldiers, Christian soldiers, and why those soldiers need to be trained, how they need to be trained, and the type of character that those soldiers are to have. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning, never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. Thus far the reading of God's word this evening. Let's bow in prayer.
Father, we pray that the word we may read be understood and that Pastor Bob will give us the truths found in that word. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So three things from this passage tonight. First of all, understanding the last days. What is Paul referring to? What is the Spirit referring to? But understand this, that in the last days... What does that mean? Secondly, let's see clearly the text. Let's see the whole thing. I think we often kind of grab on to that which comes starting in verse 2. For people will be lovers, and then we look at all the characteristics and we go, oh yeah, 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 that's today. And we don't read verse 1 in its entirety. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. And so we want to understand or clearly see that text. And then, thirdly, the applied description that follows from verse 2 on to where we finished reading this evening. So first of all, understanding the last days. If I said to you, when I was a child... What am I referring to? What does that mean, when I was a child? Does that mean sometime when I was under 5 years old? Is that when I was a child? Does it mean when I was under 10? When I was under 15? Some might say, you still sometimes act like a child. And in a certain sense, I hope I am a child of my Heavenly Father. So to what time period am I referring when I say, when I was a child? Well, it would sort of depend on what else we're talking about, right? It would sort of depend on the further context of what I'm describing as far as, well, what time period of your life are you talking about? Now, why do I use that somewhat perhaps crazy illustration, because we run into the same thing with this phrase, the last days. To what does it refer? Well, it could refer to a number of things, actually. It's not like there is one set answer to which this refers. And I won't go through all of the situations, but I'll narrow it down to three. One possibility, that when Scripture says that in the last days, it is referring to the time just before the temple is destroyed. That when the New Testament uses this phrase, when Paul says, in the last days, he's referring to the time period that will exist just prior to the destruction of the temple, which is going to take place, we know from a historical context, in 70 AD. Last days, then, as used in that understanding, refers not to the end of time, refers not to the end of the world, but to the end of the sacrificial system that takes place at the temple. In those last days, we might say in the last days of Judaism, in that regard, in the last days of the practices that were still being carried on, even though Christ has come, Christ has died and risen and ascended, those practices are still going on in the temple. They're going to come to an end. They're going to come to an end when the temple is torn down. So in the last days can refer to those days. Or the last days can refer to the time period after the ascension of Christ, which would be a relatively long time period. We would say, we are in the last days now. Because why? Well, we're now post-ascension. These are the last days. They're not the first days. They're not the beginning days. So it's dividing time into basically, maybe we would say, three categories. The early days, the Christ days, and now the last days. And we're living in the last days. Well, sure we are. This is after Jesus Christ. So if we understand, if last days is meant to convey the time period after Christ, then yes, we are living in the last days. If the word last days is meant to convey the time just before the destruction of the temple, that's already occurred. Those last days are over. Right? Even as we would use the terminology, the last days of the Eisenhower administration. Doesn't mean time ended. Doesn't mean everything's over. Just means his presidency is over. The last days. So the one, if it's the last days before the temple is destroyed, that's probably a relatively short period of time, seeing most of the books of the New Testament are written 50, 60 AD. We're only looking at maybe a 10, 20 year period of time. However, if we say and understand the last days to refer to that time period after Christ, we're up to about 2,000 years of time, and who knows how much time yet is yet to come before Christ returns. Or it can refer to the time period just prior to Jesus' second coming. Those can be referred to as the last days, because then it's over. Then it's done. Then there is no more time. There is no more sun. That is done with. That timepiece is no longer needed. There's no night there. It's the indication that as far as time is concerned, it has ceased. Well, what happens just before Christ returns it? Well, those are the last days. Those are the time period, the end of time. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. So to what is Paul referring? Well, I have good news. You don't have to pick. It's all. It's all. In those days prior to the destruction of the temple, did these things characterize that time? Yep. Certainly characterized the Roman Empire. Do those things characterize the world? Huh? Will they characterize the world prior to the return of Jesus Christ? Yep. The last days. Some texts are a little more pointed. Some texts would narrow this down even more. But in this particular passage, we would have to say and have to conclude, because Paul is not defining it, the Spirit is not defining it, we would have to look at it and say, answer is D, all of the above. I love that as, on a test. Right? Made the decision so much easier. Right? It makes our understanding of this passage so much easier. See, because it's already happened, it is occurring, and it will occur again. That's what we are being told about these last days. But then as we understand that, now let's go and look at verse 1 a little deeper. Let's understand this text. Note, first of all, the reality that Paul states. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come. There's no mistake here. There's no maybe. There's no possibility. Sort of, all depends. Depends on how circumstances play out. Depends upon who gets elected president. Will we, won't we? Depends on the next late and great movie that comes out, or the next late and great musical style that gets adopted. It all sort of depends. No, it doesn't depend on anything. Understand this, that in the last days, there will be. It's going to happen. It's going to take place. It is definite. It is not going to change. There are ordained times. Oh, wow. Notice this. Watch how this is going to fit in to Ecclesiastes 3 this morning. There is a time. There is a time. There is a time. Know this. There will be a time in which these things will happen. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor Bob. That isn't exactly what the text says, is it? Look at it. What does the text say? See, once again, it's the reading of the text as it is that clarifies so much. Because the text doesn't say time. That would indicate sort of a one and done. It's going to happen once and that's it. So we'd say, well, must be it didn't happen yet. Christ hasn't come. Because there's going to be just one time. That isn't what it says. The Holy Spirit led Paul to write these words. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. Times. They are going to come. And get this, they're going to be difficult. They're not going to be easy. They're actually going to be hard. Too many people in our day and age do not seem to appreciate the blessing of struggle. We do everything we can to avoid difficulty. Okay? We do everything we can. Okay, I'm looking in a mirror right now. Okay? And the mirror says, We live in a society that tries to find the easiest button they can find. Because somehow struggle is a bad thing. Somehow struggle is a wrong thing to go through. And yet, for older saints who can testify over the longevity of the years, they can speak so beautifully of the fact that it was the times of struggle, it was the times of difficulty that led to the spiritual growth in their lives, that led to their roots sinking deep, giving to them a solid foundation, of having them seek more and more the things of the Lord. What happened last week Monday? Remember what last week Monday was? It was September 11th. Remember that? All right. What happened? Certain ordinary day. Caught the news once in a while and somebody's ringing a bell. People are reading names. How many people went to church and prayed? But how many people went on September 10 and 11? Why? Because they were days of difficulty. They were days of struggle. And what did it do? It drove us to our knees. Oh, but we want to avoid that, see? We want to run away from it. No? Oh, no, make life easy for my kids. Make life as easy as possible. Teacher, don't give so much homework. Don't grade so difficult. Can't you just give them all A minuses? Make it as easy, easy, easy. And yet, what does this text say? But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. Who brings those times? Who brings those struggles? Who brings those hardships? A chance. There is no chance. What did we learn this morning? Who's the one who controls the seasons of time? But the sovereign Lord God. Why does he bring those hard times? To deepen, to strengthen, to propel our faith, our trust. In him. And he makes things beautiful in his time. So that the elderly saints say, oh yeah, those were some hard days, but God brought us through. God brought us through and the lessons we learned of trusting and hoping in God through those times of difficulty. See, what we have here is God telling us, I need some Christian soldiers, and I need those soldiers to be of good character because there are coming times of difficulty. And they're times. It's not always. It's not continuous. It's not ongoing. It's a time. There is a time to plant. There is a time to reap. There is a time to gather stones. There's times to get rid of stones. There's times to embrace. There's times to refrain from embracing. There are times of difficulty. They come. And they're periodic. There are times in which there is an increased evil presence upon this earth. And the evil becomes more and more prevalent. But there are times. There was likely a time just prior to the destruction of the temple. There was a time just prior to the Reformation. There are times of difficulty that God brings into this world because the times are set by Him, designed for our benefit, designed for our good. I hate going to the dentist. I hate it. I dislike it. I don't like sitting there for 45 minutes having somebody ask you questions while you can't answer. Squirting cold water on your teeth and you can't swallow until you got this little thing going up. This is not bad on the hygienist in the group. But I don't like it. It's a time of difficulty. It's a time of stress. How many cavities are they going to tell me I got? How much is this going to cost me? How many caps am I going to need this time? But I go. Be silly to avoid going. That's not going to accomplish anything. It is for my good. God brings these times for the good of His people, for the good of the church, that we might look more fully to Him. See, that's back to that Ecclesiastes 3. He makes all things beautiful in His time. Okay, that's verse 1. Now, for the rest of the text, what do we have here following in these verses? Well, we have the following. We have the character of the time. What type of thing is going to be going on? I don't think Paul meant this to be an exhaustive list, and I don't think the Holy Spirit meant it to be a short list in terms of, well, this is going on, but it's not on the list. Must not be the times then, right? Okay? That's some of those people with different views about the second coming look at it that way. Well, it's not on the list, so we can't be in the times yet. Must not be the last days. I don't think it's meant to be that way. It's meant to inform us of kind of the culture of the day, kind of the thought of the day, kind of the practice of the day. Not including every single thing that could be thrown in here. And so you look down the list and you go, wow, these would be times of difficulty for any believer in Jesus Christ. For any believer in Jesus Christ to be amongst and live amongst people who are lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Yeah, that's difficult. That would be a difficult society. That would be a difficult culture to be a Christian in. But God brings these times. And understand this, they will come. So are you prepared? See, that's the point of being the soldier. Are you prepared? Is your Christian character developed so that when these times come, when this sort of thing is thrown at us and we have to live amongst it, we have to dwell amongst it, and it surrounds us, are we ready to be the soldiers that Christ commands us to be in the book of Timothy? The kind of soldiers fighting the kind of battle with the type of character that Christ is calling us to. It's going to be difficult. Given these types of characteristics that are going to characterize those last days, those times that are going to come. Secondly, I want you to note the warning that is given. Avoid. Avoid. End of verse 5. Three simple words. Avoid such people. Do not join in. Do not participate. Don't fellowship. Avoid. Means do whatever you can not to be a part of that which is going on. You know, I was thinking about this the other day when I was reading in Acts about when they come to Ephesus and there's this riot. And they start, and I find it interesting, they start dragging people in. I found that interesting. You know why? Because the people weren't there. Hey, let's go see what's going on in the riot. Let's go witness at the riot. No, they got to drag the Christians in. Why? Because the Christians know that they are to avoid such people. They're not to be a party of this kind of activity in any way, shape, or form. It's really interesting to think about and to follow in the book of Acts how the apostles carry out their ministry. I can't think of one instance where they run to a riot. But they do get dragged in. They do get dragged in. Avoid. Avoid such people. Yeah, it means not only in a spiritual way. Yeah, I'm not supposed to buy into that concept. I'm not supposed to buy into that lifestyle. I'm to avoid that. But the text would have me take it much more literally. Avoid such people. This is not the time that you want to start hanging around with folks who are disobedient to their parents. Avoid such people. Have nothing to do with them. Not only have nothing to do with their deeds, have nothing to do with them. That doesn't mean we don't witness. That doesn't mean we don't speak to. But it means we do not join in. We are not part of that culture. We are not part of that mindset. We are not silent participants in that which is going on. Third, in this applied description, not only is the character of the times noted, the warning is noted, but then it tells us what the means are going to be used to carry on this work. This is pretty interesting stuff, isn't it? Because it reminds me of Genesis chapter 3. It reminds me of a sly, cunning serpent who weaves his way into Eve's mind and heart. Verse 6, for among them are those who creep into households. Just get that picture. How do these people operate? They creep into households. They capture weak women who are burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning, never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. That word knowledge there is kind of interesting because one of the things that's already brewing within the church is some forms of Gnosticism, gnosis, knowledge. And they prided themselves on the fact of that which they knew, but they always knew there was more. There was always more. It was always a moving thing. You can never say, well, I've mastered everything there is to know. Now I'm like you. Oh, no. Grasshopper, you still do not be able to take the pebble from my hand. It's always an ongoing thing, and it goes further and further and further and further and further away from Christ. Always learning, never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. This is the means. This is the subtle means by which these things listed here in 2 Timothy 3 happen. They don't happen by some official announcement and proclamation. They happen because in individual households, one could say there are not husbands and fathers standing guard. Just as Adam neglected his duty, just as Adam was negligent in that which happened in that garden. So Paul is alluding to the fact that there is a negligence here. There's not fathers training their sons. There's not husbands leading their wives. Instead, the subtle voices of heresy, the subtle voices of false doctrine, the subtle voices of a lifestyle that is not to be associated with the Christian life weaves its way in. We do well to pay attention to that which Paul says in the last days is going to occur, is going to happen. That weakening, that breaking down of truth. And then he gives an example, lastly, of judgment. There are those two men who are raised here who serve as examples of those who oppose Moses. But it wasn't just they opposed Moses, they opposed the truth. We don't know much about this circumstance. We don't know much about this situation. Paul is just using it as an example for us to be reminded of, to be knowledgeable of. That in those days, just like in Moses' day, when there were those who stood up and opposed the truth, so there will be those who stand up and oppose the truth of God in those last days. But they will not get very far. They will not get very far. They will not accomplish their purpose. They will not accomplish their plan. Why? Because in the storm, he is Lord of all. In the storm, in the difficult times, in those difficult days, when this kind of characteristic is rampant in the world. In the storm, he is Lord. Because you see, in his time, he makes all things beautiful. Say, why'd you repeat that now? Because you see, my friends, there is beauty to be seen in the judgment of the wicked. Yes, you heard that right. There is beauty. Understand the term. Understand how we're using it. There is beauty to be seen in the judgment of the wicked. When you and I stand in glory, and we know that God in his holy justice has executed justice on every single unbeliever, that is going to be a thing of beauty. Because what do we see? We see the wonder of the beauty of the holiness of God. We see the wonder of the beauty of the justice of God. We see the wonder and the beauty, that wholeness, that completeness, that it is appropriate, that it is correct. We see that God has done that which he has promised to do. And we see the outstanding beauty of his grace. Because we're standing in his presence. They will not get very far. Their folly will be seen by all. Paul doesn't say when. He might be referring to that final judgment. Everybody will know of God's judgment upon the wicked. Now, yes, now for you and I to comprehend that, for you and I to put that in our heads and go, how can that be a thing of beauty? How can that be a thing of wonder? Remember, we are these creatures caught in the creatureness of time. But there is a God who stands above, who is working out all of his sovereign purposes and will. And someday when we gaze upon that from glory, we shall say, oh Lord, you are beautiful. You are beautiful in all that you have done, because you have worked all things according to the purpose of your will. And so even as these days, even if we are to live through these days, even if in our experience, this is speaking of our time, of our day, of our age, of our lifetime, God makes all things beautiful in his time. Let's pray. Father, this is a humbling passage to consider. It's a humbling passage because it removes so much from us. We want to be in control. We want to be in charge. Yet this passage reminds us that these times are in your hands. And even these days of difficulty that are spoken of here are in your hands. They're under your sovereign control. They can only last so long, and they can only do so much, because their folly shall be seen by all. And your judgment will be executed. Father, we come to you tonight humbled because we know that we deserve that judgment. We deserve that justice. We deserve that wrath. But you, in your grace and in your mercy, put that upon Christ. What a thing of beauty to behold. Your eternal grace. A grace that we can never be separated from. A grace that we can never be torn away from. A grace that no matter if the last days come, it cannot separate us from your love for us in Jesus Christ. Ah. In times like these, how we need a Savior. In times like these, how blessed we are to know our Savior. As the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And God's people say, amen.